The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on a Friday, October the 10th, 7:05 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Good Great morning, Savannah.
Here. Good morning.
There's Savannah. She's going. You know what? I can't help it, but I end up lecturing to Savannah. She comes and she tells me something because Savannah goes out to help people. And I go, oh, no. Yeah, it's really good. You know what? I think it's great, Savannah, help people. No. Not there, though. No, not there. I really like Switzerland last time because I kind of felt like the only danger you were in is maybe too much chocolate.
A little weak.
Okay, let's compare this to how a parent would feel when their kid enters the service. You know, you can't choose where your kids are going to service.
That's true.
How about these three kids that were, they weren't kids, they were kids and they were young men in the Air Force taking pictures and were swept out to sea recently that were on duty.
Off the coast of Okinawa. And you know what? Knowing where they were at and having been stationed in Okinawa a few times, it happens every year. Every year, because you're out there in this beautiful area and the waves are just, you know, fantastic. But and every year, it will wash people off.
A rogue wave.
It will wash people off. That these rocks and those are locals too. So I mean, it was not surprising. And when it takes them, it drops them like about 30 feet into the water, and then bangs them up against the rocks, and then takes them straight out. Okay. It's a terrible place.
Well, the comparison being, I want you to serve our country. Or you decide to serve your God, your Lord, your church. You know, they send you to a place. You don't get to choose. We don't get to choose. You don't get to say, or a Mormon, when they're going to go do a mission. Well, they don't get to choose where they're going to go.
No, that's I think that you can choose sometimes. But I understand what you're saying. And if Savannah wants to go to places that are out there to help people, then she should. But she also needs to listen to everybody that cares about Savannah lecturing her for the next year.
Absolutely. And I do trust your advice because you've been out there. You've seen it firsthand. You know?
I just think that there's, you know what, if you know, 10 years ago, I would probably had a different opinion. But I just have that opinion now. Anyway, let's move on here.
We have good a morning, lot going
everybody. On. You know what? Code Black, this documentary.
Yeah, and I think it was an emergency room out of New York. I'm not sure.
No, it was L.A.
Oh, okay, because I know in your interview on the phone with Pamela Okuda, you had talked about Camp Pendleton would send their docs down to L.A.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it was New York. Well, we'll find out today.
No, it's in L.A.
Okay.
It's based out of L.A. It's about an emergency room, and it's going to be at the Cascade Theater starting to. It's going to be playing tomorrow, one night. I think it's a one-night stand there. And Shasta Region, but we're going to have one of the doctors that was in that movie, and we're going to talk about it's the closest thing you're going to get to combat. Is these emergency rooms like L.A.
Well, if you're just tuning in, too, and you want to know what the weather is, and you first of all, good morning, and it's Friday. We're so happy to have you with us here. The 10th, and I know that you're looking at your calendar going, the 10th, the 11th, 12th, what's happening? So many things happening in the North State. We're going to talk to you and tell you and have tickets to give away to some special events. But first, it's 61 degrees. It's going to be sunny today with temperatures around 88, mostly clear tonight with 59. Saturday, it looks like we have maybe 6 to 9 miles per hour of wind, mostly clear with our lows around 60 and our highs around 88. Sunday we get to around 87. And again, you've probably heard some of the forecasts that as we go into next week, the temperatures get into the low 70s. So I think fall is among us, and we're very excited about that. But the weather and the detailed forecast here and every morning is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. We're locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793.
Okay.
A little bit later in the program, we promised we were going to give away tickets, but first, we have a furry friend in the house. Well, we have two furry friends in the house, but one doesn't have fur all over his body that we know of. I mean, the face is shaved, the arms are shaved, but...
He doesn't shave his arms. That is so... Well, unlike him.
He doesn't, the exposed parts don't have a lot of hair.
He may have his chest waxed. We don't know. I don't even want to know. So, good morning, Spencer.
Good morning.
Do you wax your chest?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
That's too much information.
What do you have? Who do you have here? Which of our furry little friends do you have here?
Well, this morning I brought with me Raz. And Raz is...
Who's drinking Linda's coffee.
He's trying to. Raz is a two-year-old Shepherd Lab mix.
Cute.
And one of the reasons I picked him this morning was, well, first, he got groomed yesterday, so he's not a smelly dog. Second is, I mean... He was just so calm. You walk by his kennel at the shelter, and he just kind of sits there with his big old eyes and looks at you. All the other dogs are barking and jumping, trying to get everybody's attention. And he's just like, you know, I just really want a home, so I'm going to sit here and behave my best. And
I picked a dog out like that once from a kennel out of L.A. just for that reason.
Yep,
he was the best dog.
He just sits
right
in his kennel all nice and quiet.
Yeah, right now he's just sitting there. He's looking around. You know, one really great quality about him is he doesn't like Just Bop. Just kidding.
Don't look at me like that.
No,
I mean, it just came out of the blue. He's not even here.
I know. It was safe to do it.
I know. Carl's trying to have his Friday humor. He's tired.
No, I'm not tired. Why would you say that? You want to start a fight right here in the air and we roll around on the ground, thumbing each other in the eye?
Here's the beautiful thing about this dog's neck and head. He's a beautiful. Oh, yeah, he has bad Bob.
I told you Bob was here. That's why the dog was looking out the door. The dog was waiting to Bob get close enough to him.
Okay. All right, tell us about the poundage and a little bit about his disposition.
So he is a larger breed dog. I would say that he is probably around 70 pounds or so. Really good sized dog. He's got a really unique coat on him. It's like the lab collar. So he's got the black lab collar, but his fur is a little bit longer like the Shepherd. But he doesn't shed extremely like the Shepherd. And we have him rated for a home with kids 5 and older, which, as you know...
Because he's big and he can knock little kids down.
Yeah,
because
you know, not even know.
Because he's absolutely quiet, sedate. He's laying here. Does he walk real well on a leash?
He does walk really well on a leash. If he gets distracted, sees new people, he'll give you a little tug because he just wants to go say hi.
Mm-hmm. He came over to say hello this morning, and he's inquisitive. And, you know, you're going to need a place that's got some room because he is about, what?
70.
About 70 pounds. Mm-hmm. But a quiet dog, black, with a little bit of
brown. It's almost like a pearlescent.
Yeah, it's like a brown undercoat. Like, his top coat is black, but his undercoat is brown. He's really unique, and he knows all of his basic commands and everything like that already. Right. He's ready to go home today.
Okay.
I love that.
You know, here's the other thing, too, is we just had the Buck, Wine, and Brew Saturday night.
Which was turned out phenomenal.
It was a huge success. And they gave, you know, it was great slideshows of all the animals that have been, that have gone on, that you all have. Not all of them because there's, you know, so many of them, but so many of them. And the way that they did the live auction, they'd introduce it with one of the animals. That was hilarious. But then, you know what, so now we have this dog here that is, because we're batting 100%. 100%. So we want you to give Haven Humane a call at
241-1653.
We want you to go down there. We want you to take this dog home and love it. And this will be, I tell you what, this is a forever dog here.
Yeah, he also does great with all other animals. So, I mean, he's just this very sweet, easygoing, mellow dog that's just looking for the right forever home.
He could be a good office dog.
He really could.
You know,
he could be a good office dog. That's right.
And I also want to throw out there, just because we have him rated for 5 and older, if you have kids younger, we can always do a dog-child introduction. And because obviously he's not going to know the difference between a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, it's how well the child's going to interact with the animal.
Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you something else, too, is, you know, if you walk out to your car, I promise you, nobody's going to come up and beg me. This is a quiet, dog that obviously is affectionate and is 70 pounds. And I would, you know what, if I had, this is one of the nicer dogs. I mean, I like
his paws.
Yeah.
He's got nice paws.
He has the paws that refresh. Oh, no, that's Coca-Cola.
Okay. Right. Hey, how did the kitty last year, the 22-pound kitty that was so, which a total trip?
Lucky's still there. Okay. His forever home hasn't quite come through our door yet, but it will.
All right.
I keep telling everybody,
cat lovers.
This is a 22-pound cat.
Cat is a trip.
In fact, Savannah was wearing this cat on her head as a big hat. And anyway.
You could do like a whole video on that cat. You could do like, you know, name the cat and do the camera that watches what the cat does and people would tune in. That would be one of those YouTube subscriptions.
How much fun is it watching a cat eat?
Well, people watch are you kidding me? A goldfish swim.
He would be the perfect candidate for one of those fat cat magazines where they sell the clothes for the fat cat.
Yeah.
Perfect one for
him. He's there. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Spencer.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Great job for what you're doing. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do that, I want to talk about, you know, in the mornings, the last thing I do before I walk out or before Linda walks out is we take the control setting and we punch up the control setting, moving it from our sleep number setting of, in my case, 40, take it up to 100. And Linda takes her sleep number setting, which it could be anything.
I'd like to be back on my sleep number right now.
You know what? Sleep number is, you know, we tell it what to do, but this new IQ technology, it hops, you know, it reads what you're, it senses how you're sleeping. It's going to send you a little message, if you can believe this. And it's true on the new beds from Sleep Number. It tells you, hey, you may want to try this one. You may want to try this sleep number setting so that you sleep better. But the first thing you have to do is head on down to Target Shopping Center, go to the Sleep Number store. It's a store of the future, the way it looks. And not only if, you know, you go in there and if you've already got a Sleep Number mattress, which hundreds of thousands of people do, rated number one by Consumer Reports, made in America, guaranteed, you can buy other things, pillows and bedding and it goes over your bed. I can't say it was just like a cover, and it lets you sleep either warm or cold. It also lets you have your own sleep number setting for warmth or coolness.
Well, anyway, get into the store and check out the products.
Talk to Janice and Brian there. It's Target Shopping Center. Sleep Number. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Carl and the Debot. Here's what I want to talk about. The Lassen superintendent finally retires. Did it have anything to do with the investigation that just started? Oh, no. What investigation, she says. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Measure B will make way for our community's first four-star hotel and create good-paying jobs for Reading residents. Here's Chamber of Commerce President Frank Strazzarino.
Reading's economy can certainly use the 40 new construction jobs and 70 permanent jobs created by the hotel.
Revenue from the new hotel will help fund the operations and improve the park. Here's Turtle Bay School Principal Linda Lawhon.
The new hotel will help sustain Turtle Bay, which provides educational and cultural enrichment for more than 10,000 children per year.
Measure B strengthens a one-of-a-kind community asset. Sharon Clay, curator of animal programs at Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay used to be subsidized by taxpayers. The new hotel will help make us self-sustaining.
Measure B, supported by the Reading Peace Officers Association, the Chamber of Commerce, all 18 Shasta County school superintendents, and thousands of local residents. Paid for by Yes on Measure B, Reading Residents for Jobs and a Sustainable Economy, with major funding by Turtle Bay Exploration Park and John Fitzpatrick.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PackSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop, located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bond. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 61 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's cooling down. This weekend is going to be fantastic. Everything that's going on, starting with Make-A-Wish tonight. Tomorrow, of course, is Big Bike Weekend, Making Strides over down at the bridge. And then, of course, Code Black tomorrow night at Cascade Theater. And there's numerous other things going on that we're probably just not picking up on because there's so many of them going on. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great, great coffee down there at Espresso Joe's, plus any type of drink you can imagine. Walk next door, finest walk-in humidor in the state. I mean, absolutely has everything in that humidor, plus an extensive array of e-cigs, all shapes and flavors. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. Joe and Shelley are true supporters of this community. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I want to talk about, and then this is really, I've only got two things I really wanted to talk about today. This is one of them. Darlene Coons, the superintendent of Lassen Park, has retired. This is about a month after an investigation began concerning her alleged criminal conduct after a rock wall collapsed at the Mount Lassen Park, killing 9-year-old Tommy Battelle. And this is a little strange because it just so happens that I met Tommy's mother the other day, and I didn't know it was her. I met her in a completely different type of atmosphere, and I said, "Oh, this is, this is Tommy's mom." She didn't describe it like that, just her name. And it wasn't until later I found out, and then this thing hits ever since this thing's happened. My question has been, why is this woman still in a job? She has been accused of not only not rebuilding the wall after it was said because it was dangerous, and it was, the park gave a report that it was dangerous. Not only that, but at the end of it, it was said that she had facts destroyed, redacted from that report, had parts redacted from it. She destroyed evidence, and then she had the wall rebuilt before they could be investigated, before anybody could look at it. Perjury and all of this, and not one, and you think to yourself, well, how come this isn't being investigated? How come they aren't coming down? And indeed, she just kept her job. Not only that, because of the loss of life, but then she was the one in charge of the Reading Fire, which got loose and burnt hundreds of thousands of acres and caused millions of dollars worth of destruction because of bad decisions that she made. And she has said, everybody learns in a fire. And when they asked her about, are you retiring because of this investigation? And she goes, what investigation? And one of these things, like, she didn't know what was happening. As the Campora, a lawyer for the family of the boy, says, I would say her retirement is more than just a coincidence. The U.S. Attorney's Office agreed last year to pay the Battelle family $3.5 million to settle a lawsuit against the Park Service. And the magistrate judge, hearing evidence in the suit, ruled that the Park Service should be sanctioned for destroying evidence in the case. So, I mean, when you get to that point and nothing happened, and then they're saying, well, it's because we had to wait till the civil court case was over. Okay. But I hope this investigation, hopefully this isn't one of those Lois Lerners where she comes in and she goes, well, I refuse to say anything. I'm retired. I don't think there's a statute of limitations on this. I mean, it hasn't been reached yet. And I think we need to, for this woman to get in court and explain what happened that day. And if she's innocent, let it come out. And if she is negligent, if she did try to hide the evidence, if she did rebuild that wall to hide evidence, if she did pull things from the report, if she did perjure herself, she needs to go to jail. And that's, you know, I mean, and she needs to something needs to be done. The U.S., you know, you have to trust the people in these forest services, yeah, or any place, any position of authority that people have. And if, you know, it's one thing to have a tragedy and then work your way through the tragedy. It's another thing, if all these charges are true, to hide it, to destroy evidence, to do all these things. There must be something done on that. And of course, that's just my opinion.
I'm glad that's exactly why we have these moments on the air. Give us a call at 605-4567 and let us know your thoughts on that as well. We do have guests that are coming in the 7:30 hour. Until then, I wanted to share with you that tonight at Wind River, it's the Make-A-Wish Fashion Show fundraiser, and Wings of Angels. It's going to be fun. We've got remodeling, 34 outfits from two boutiques, locally owned boutiques, Carousel and Red Fox. There's going to be a Texas Hold tournament and, you know, wonderful local representatives and all levels will be there tonight. It's going to be a blast. And I have two tickets. This is great date night, folks. Or take a friend. You're going to see everybody in town. It's wonderful. It's a fashion show. It's food. It's just great. Dutch raffle and a live auction and a silent auction. These are like $25 tickets. And last night, Barbara Harrison brought me in two free tickets for tonight. It begins at 6 p.m. And so give us a call here, 605-4567 for the annual fashion show fundraiser for Make-A-Wish tonight at Wind River. Please come.
Includes dinner, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So you can get a free dinner tonight, too. And then...
It's gourmet hors d'oeuvres and cocktails and wine.
Okay, gourmet hors d'oeuvres.
That's kind of how they've always said it.
Okay, 605-4567. Now, the other thing we have is let's talk about money. Money in the local elections and who's raised what. This is coming out of the declarations that our city people running for city council have done. And see, the leader so far for money in the race is Brent Weaver. He's raised $58,000. Michael DeQuisto has raised $50,000. Christian Schrader has raised $38,000. Francie Sullivan, $21,000. Patrick Jones, $16,000. And Michael Quinn, $9,000. Now, we're going to kind of go through this at some point. We get a little time. Where did the money come from? And you're going to see unions and Chamber of Commerce and individuals that have been given money. This most of it looks like from, you know, the largest, I think, amount given was, you know, out of some of these PACs, either the Chamber of Commerce or the union PACs. And so what you need to find out when you're looking at this, and we'll go through where the money came from, where the majority of the money came from, so that you can say, well, yeah, I remember a couple of years ago when you're running for county supervisors, front page above the fold, where they intimated that Anselmo was trying to buy the election by giving people $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000. Well, if you look in here, you'll see people have been given a lot of money. The fact that, you know, Anselmo had the right to give money to anybody he wanted to, internet race, and he did, including Brian Daly, which was hidden in the story because it didn't fit the record searchlights. Idea right then, or there are choices of who they wanted to have win elections. But the bottom line on it is that there is money in it, and you should take a look at where it comes from. Does it make any difference? Will it change the way people vote? I mean, you could say if unions are giving money to people, that's to, you know, quote, is that going to buy their vote? I would like to think as I was told one day by Steve Allen, he says, we don't want, you know, if we go with somebody, only thing we want them to do is listen and have an open mind. And that's the way he explains it. Now, if somebody gives you a lot of money, does that make a difference in how you think? Or is it just because you are such a like-minded person You know, so if you follow the money, does it mean is okay? If you're a businessman, you get a lot of you know the Chamber of Commerce, which is business, gives you money out of their package because you're a businessman and they think you're going to support what they believe in business. If the unions give you a lot of money, then obviously the unions believe that you're going to vote along and support what the unions believe. I can't think of any other reason that, you know, and then you have other people that donate $100 or $1,000 that said, hey, I hear what this man or woman says and I respect it and I want to support him in this battle, you know. So, but big money, does big money make a difference? Not that when you see the biggest amount of money is like $3,000. Is that going to, will that buy a vote? Or does that just mean they want them to have an open mind when they make decisions?
We have given our tickets away, and congratulations. Savannah, who do we give our tickets away to?
Alice,
excellent. Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we do have a guest. And also want to bring up the subject of what not to say on a plane today. That coming up right after this. KCNR 1460.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy, and we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family, with safe neighborhoods and quality jobs. I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KC. DNR.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. How are you? Leave those kids alone. Yeah.
This portion of the show has been brought to you, or being brought to you, by Northern Firearms Instruction, Ted Leidy and his team of instructors out there. He's offering a, you know, as you know, we're supporting Liberty on the Border, this great Civil War exhibition down at Turtle Bay. And so what Ted has done for NFI is he's putting on a special class, and we're going to limit it. It's going to be a limited number. All the instructors, including myself and two others plus Ted, are donating regular fees. And so the whole class, every dollar is going to be sent in support of this Liberty on the Border. And so we're taking names now. It's a co-ed class, so it could be a husband, wife, or it could be just girls. We've got a bunch of girls coming into the class.
How do you call? Ladies, what do you call?
999-1822, or check register online at reading.com. And like I said, it's we're donating all of our time, and all the proceeds, every dollar is going to go to support Liberty on the Border. It's a great Civil War exhibition.
Renewal? Is this a renewal course, or is it brand new?
This is a basic CCW class.
So you can get your brand new CC. Doesn't mean you're going to get your – you have to get your weapon and get cleared and all that other stuff, but you still have the certificate.
We'll provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents for this class.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, if you don't have the pistol, then we'll provide that for you. And so you'll get through the class. You'll be able to walk away from that class with the knowledge and the experience and the confidence.
How much is it?
$150. And it's here's the other thing. It's tax deductible.
So that money, what's cool about that is that you're getting your permit, and then the money is going to go towards, KCNR is supporting. We're doing this umbrella. So we're supporting this Liberty on the Border. It's a new exhibit. In fact, I think it's opening tomorrow. The grand opening is with the reenactors and the tanks and everything that come out October 18th. And we're looking forward. That's going to be going on until January. And what's really cool about this is, again, it's Civil War. You get to touch, feel, and see this exhibit. This is a full-on museum exhibit that moves. And we're very, very fortunate to have about how important our borders are and what did happen during the Civil War.
And with everything that's going on in the world, it might be interesting to draw maybe parallels between now and then. The other thing, too, it's got nothing to do with politics. And if we want to keep a place like museum like Turtle Bay open, we as a community need to support it. And we found this is one way of supporting it is to get donations and to support exhibitions like this. So not only can you get your concealed carry permit, you get a $150 write-off for your taxes, and it's getting that time of the year. You get some great instruction.
And we're also taking donations for them. So give us a call here if you care to be part of the exhibit that we support here at KCNR.
As so many have, including Judy Maxwell and Pew and Van Voorst and Congressman Doug LaMalfa, plus many others. And we'll have those names up on our website today.
All right. With us this morning is a guy whose name's been in the paper a whole lot.
For good reasons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Baron Browning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, this has nothing to do with politics. We're talking about Anderson Explodes.
Yes, we are.
And I know that you took because it looked like this was going away and that you all took this over to make it happen.
So yeah,
let's talk about it.
Last year, the chamber decided that it was not financially feasible for them to do this anymore. A group of us got together in the city of Anderson, and a lot of them that originally started this over 19 years ago, once it left Anderson River Park and the river, and 25 of us got together and formed a community for Anderson Explodes. And we had our first fireworks display this last July 3rd, and it was absolutely phenomenal. We had a record attendance without the races. The races didn't happen this year. We had 11,000 people come through the gate.
Well, my goodness. Anderson has always had the reputation of having a really good firework display. I've only been in the Reading area, I think, 7 years. It's kind of like stayed at seven. Maybe it's eight or nine now. But I've always heard about Anderson Explodes and that you guys do an excellent, excellent show. Now, you're doing something that this is a steak and shrimp dinner and dance November 1st. So what is this, to raise money for the big firework display that usually happens a couple days before the 4th of July?
That's correct. It's a $10 for the dinner and then a $15 donation for a total of $25, $15 of that going directly to Anderson Explodes, plus there'll be a live band, which will be the Lindsay Thomas Band. And she actually came to the fireworks display on July 3rd and played live for everybody throughout the evening. And it was absolutely phenomenal. They just loved her and her band. And so we graciously and wanted her back again, and she said yes. So we very much appreciate that.
Do you guys use the same firework company every year? Because, it's still a reputation of what happens in the Anderson firework display. Do you use the same company or do you shop?
We do shop. The last year's, the They were paying about $25,000 for the display with the same amount of time that
they are expensive.
Year.
Yeah,
and we shopped
doubt.
Around, and we actually got the bid at $17,000.
Wow!
And it was absolutely phenomenal. It was a great display, and so we're very glad we've got another offer on the table from a newer company this year. It's a break off of an old company that used to be in town. And
wow!
I won't mention their name, but
it doesn't sound like Al Jazeera or anything.
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
No, absolutely not. But we welcome their bid, this display will actually be bigger and longer. All 3-inch shells this year for the same price.
So. Okay, 3-inch shells. What's that? Tell people what that means.
So it goes up in denominations in how high it will go and how far it will spread. Because of the layout of the fairgrounds, you can't have a fallout zone of so many feet. And so the state says, based on the fallout zone of the fairgrounds and where it would land, we can't not go above a 3-inch shell.
Now, 3-inch, is that in circumference?
Yes.
Okay. So, and the people, I don't know if people realize that most of these are set up on computers.
Yes, they are.
And so that once they've got the show all programmed, which is, where it used to be you'd run over there and they'd light these things off and, oh, okay. And then that way you can sync it to music too.
That's right. It's all synced to music. And the state fire marshal and the local fire marshal get together. They go inspect it all beforehand. And it's done approximately 24 hours beforehand. And then if you'll notice last year, and I'm sure some people in Anderson saw it, but after the fireworks were over, there's shells that actually didn't go off. And so about 30 to 45 minutes later, there was about 15 or 20 more pops that went off later on that they found to be still live.
Oh, boy.
And they have to go back and reset the computer and set them off again.
You have to shoot them because otherwise now you've got a loaded – essentially it's like you have
a loaded
you're
gun.
Shooting a mortar.
Yes.
And you had a misfire. So you've either got to take the charge out of the gun or it has to be refired.
And that's way too dangerous.
Yeah, in this case for them, they just reshot them.
That's like right. That.
Okay. So where did you get your name, Baron?
My parents –
Okay, is that a family name?
It is, yes.
I didn't know if it was a nickname or it was like literally you grew up and teacher would say Baron.
Yes.
Okay.
Did they say Baron Sir?
No.
Okay.
And two R's.
More like just one R.
Okay, Baron Browning. Okay.
Oh, that really is Baron.
I like that. Really I like Baron, it. Sounds like a good cowboy. And what better name to have come and talk to about Anderson Explodes? Community for Anderson Explodes, steak and shrimp dinner and dance, Saturday, November 1st, Fusero Hall, Shasta District Fairgrounds, no host cocktails at 5:30 p.m., dinner at 7, tickets are $25 or dinner 10, donation 15. And can you get your tickets in advance?
You can. You can get them right there at the Shasta County Fairgrounds. Their number is 378-6789.
Now, there's something else. I'm just going to throw this in here right at the end. Is Baron is also running.
For Anderson City Council.
That's right.
You're all over
the
paper.
Before we get to that, I would like to
I just wanted
to your
throw
listeners
that, just throw, that out,
throw out two coupon. I mean, two dinner tickets.
All right.
For your listeners. So whichever call you want to take.
Let's take our second call here. Unless I feel like third. No, let's go second
call. Second call.
This is going to be steak and shrimp.
Steak and shrimp, 605-4567. Love to give away free tickets here.
November 1st,
which is nice because, we start to get booked up. I know we're booked up on November 1st. Otherwise, we'd be there, but we'll be sending you great love. And
we'll talk about it more.
We want everyone to come out and support you. We're going to be with our cruise folks.
That's right. And
we're going to be walking down memory lane.
605-4567. If you want a ticket to, if you want free tickets to the steak and shrimp dinner and dance Saturday, November 1st at the Fusero Hall, Shasta District Fairgrounds.
Free
these
tickets.
These are $25 tickets and you can get them for free. And live entertainment by the Lindsay Thomas Band. Community for
Blast.
Anderson Explodes. You're going to have a great time. Give us a call. 605-4567. Baron Browning has been with us, and thank you very much.
Thank
We're
you guys
get,
for having
we'll get
me.
These away and also keep pushing this for you.
Again,
we'll
the
right
date
back.
Is November 1st for we'll be, the Steak and Shrimp Dinner and Dance.
We'll be right back. Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city. None more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. It's Friday here, and we do have a lot of people coming and going. Oh, and by the way, Friday night tonight, Nate Aberea, Shasta at Paradise, 7:05 pregame, 7:30 kickoff. Gosh, Shasta without head coach Aaron Gingery. Tune in to Nate live from the Ridge in Paradise. I love this guy. Tomorrow, I've had the great pleasure of being asked to emcee the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, which is going to be out at the Bridge in the morning, 7:30 a.m. Registration opens. A walk begins at 8:30. There are ceremonies from 8 to 8:30, dignitaries that are coming in. And there's some incredible statistics. I talked about this last night on my show with the millions of dollars that have been raised, what it is. And this is for the American Cancer Society. And, of course, we had on our female and our only woman oncologist here in the North State. She was on Tuesday, Dr. Danuka, and talking about early detection. So, you know, October is all about, I think, Pink Month, and Making Strides is happening Saturday. Join me out there Saturday morning. Of course, we've given our tickets away to Alice, and there are more tickets for tomorrow night's fashion show, fashion show fundraiser, which is the Make-A-Wish. Something in the news. Carl's, I think, out talking to the mayor right now, but I love that. We have on our shows, we have the chief of police that comes by. We have people come poke their head in and want to talk about something that's on their mind, and it could be during our show, so I'm here to be able to cover that. But, you know, I have to share this with you. I read this in the headlines. Savannah's here. And some people, their humor is just, I don't know. This happened to us on the trip and with somebody who is near and dear to us that thought it was funny. And they went, Ebola. And not on the plane, but on the ship. Now, this is before, of course, this is before the big outbreak. This is right, you know, about the time that we were finding out that we were under triple, you know, high threat in London and England and coming back. But I just thought, you know, that's not funny. That is just, that is, for me, that's not funny. Well, in the headlines, a man, this is just what happened. A man who sneezed on an airplane and then allegedly joked to seatmates that he had Ebola caused a scare on a U.S. Airways flight Wednesday. U.S. Airways flight 845 from Philadelphia was greeted with a hazmat team and inspected by local health officials when it arrived in Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. A spokesman for American Airlines, which now includes merger partner U.S. Airways, acknowledged the plane was inspected on arrival due to the possible health issue on board. This is not funny. People are dying. It is not funny. I don't understand people's senses of humor. What part of, I don't know, what part of that isn't funny? I mean, so anyway, they had to go in and, you know, maybe he's got the sense of humor that, oh, I was the guy that one day I did that, you know, the hazmat team came in. I mean, just think of the other people, what they went through. Anyway, a flight attendant can be heard telling passengers via the aircraft's PA system, I've done this for 36 years. I think the man that has said this is an idiot, and I'll say that straight out. If you hear me, that's fine. The Post sets the scene writing, the hazmat crew climbed on board, moving down the aisle in plastic suits with breathing apparatuses hiding their faces. People pulled out cell phones to capture the scene. A child squealed in the background. As the health crews got to the joking passenger, he can be heard on the video saying, I was just kidding. I ain't from Africa.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
You didn't hear any of this. Carl's come back in the room.
Well, you know, we've got these guys coming in from Code Black are coming in. So they're coming in from Rick Bassetti's here. The mayor's going to be with us Monday morning talking about Measure F and everything. So a lot of stuff going on here. That's for sure. This Ebola thing.
Did you hear what I was talking about?
About the some guy that claimed Ebola.
And I talked about how that happened to us with a friend that we were with on our trip that thought it was funny, that did it off the plane, but did that on the ship and thought it was funny. And I thought, what kind of sense of humor is that? But that was before the big outbreak. And that would be something that might be like a kind of, I don't know. And I just thought, it's not funny. Somebody we know and love and respect. Sense of humor. That just isn't funny.
You know,
funny.
The thing about it is sometimes senses of humor, and it doesn't appeal to everybody. Maybe it's not the same. But it doesn't mean that you need to – you don't need to – if you don't like it, then don't laugh. But, you know, it's like this. Let's talk about Man's World. All right. We were kidding around. I was sitting down and talking to somebody about this, and having a Man World exhibition, you know, exposition, a Man's World Expo.
Where the biggest grunt. Who could do the biggest
grunt?
You'd have
it down in Facero Hall or down at the Henderson Fairgrounds. And it's in conjunction with the stock car race. It starts at 6 p.m. or so. So from 9 to 6, you've got all these different venues and they're in vendors, you know, anything from cars to tools to motorcycles. You could have, arm wrestling contest. You know, I have all these things. And when I was talking to, you know, and when two guys are talking about, you know, cigar smoking, you know, here's great cigars. It's a man's thing. Men go down there. It's kind of a man bonding thing. And then as soon as you mentioned this to, I was talking to somebody later on, a lady. And when I said, and everything, oh yeah, that's right. You know, men and all that. Until you mentioned those two words. Bikini contest. Whoa, what? A bikini contest? You can't have a bikini contest. Well, why? Well, because. I mean, it just gives the wrong connotation. And then that led us to, you know, that led to another discussion. But now it leads to a discussion here. If, you know, what is wrong with attending a bikini contest if you're a man? What is wrong about this? I'm willing to listen to anybody because if you see that. What's the difference between girls coming out in a bikini? How about this? How about if it's a one-piece bathing suit like they have, you know, on Miss America, they come out in two pieces. What about a two-piece bathing suit contest like they have in Miss America? And millions of people watch this and they vote on them. What's the difference between that and you have one of these in a man, the first and only, the first and maybe last man's expo. Which one? Both of you are looking at me. I mean, Savannah, y'all see just a look on Savannah's face right now. She goes, I can't believe you're talking about this. So,
what is it from somebody from your age and your perspective of it, you know, you can understand hunting, fishing, guy cave thing, but when it comes to women in swimsuits, what happens for you?
Well, I can't speak for every female my age because I think I have different core values from some, but I don't even really understand why in, you know, beauty competitions or why they're even having those bathing suits. I don't know.
Yeah, like in Miss America or all these. Right. So you're saying they shouldn't even have those.
So the idea of a bathing suit, a bikini competition, I'm kind of like, oh, man.
See?
Does it become sexist? Does it become sexist?
Well, I mean, she's putting herself out there, so you don't feel too bad for the girl. But in the same sense, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So what about girls that go to the beach dressed in these suits?
That's not a man's cave.
No, but I'm just saying is, you know, here's the thing is we want to talk about men's responsibilities and all this. And you talk about male bonding and all these things that are men, you know, is that available out there? And then the conversation went into when you're talking to people is responsibility. What is, you know, to be a man is definition of a man, you know, taking responsibility, taking care of those that are less able to take care of themselves, protecting the weaker. And then you get into, you know, a real man gets, you know, it gets into teaching responsibility. Now it gets into, you know, the whole thing went from this, oh, yeah, drag races and all that. And now all of a sudden, as soon as the term
because then it goes
bathing suit competition came up, it changed totally. Because if I just said this other stuff about, hey, drag racing and tools and all this, everybody's nodding their head. As soon as I used the term bikini contest, it changed dramatically in here.
Because it goes into sexuality. It goes into sexualization. It goes into an erotic moment rather than a fishing pole, smoking cigars, having a man cave, watching games. Okay, the cheerleaders. I mean, there's something about the cheerleaders. They're cute and everything on the side. But here's my point is that, you know, what we're trying to do is get away from having this thing where, there's this the sexualization of so many things. There's a sexualization when it comes to bikinis at a guy's event. What are you talking about? How could you not see that?
Okay, what about an event like at Sturgis when there's men and women there and they have the wet t-shirt contest?
That's Sturgis.
Okay.
It's like you're going to a camp and you know that you're going to see people do weird things.
You know, I just watched this YouTube video the other day and it was a video of women catcalling at men.
Yeah.
And watching men's response. It was hysterical.
Okay, but that goes back to responsibility. It's like a sexual assault in a university when a woman's unconscious or so drunk she can't protect herself. That's absolutely wrong. Because the man has not been taught correctly, starting it from age, and as frankly as I'm concerned, it started from age one, on how to act as a responsible male. You know, when these things happen, it's because they have no, for some reason, they have not been taught that this is wrong. This is totally wrong to take advantage of anybody. And that is part of growing up and being a man. Maybe the whole thing is that it's okay to do all these other things. But if you said, okay, how about this? How about best abs contest for women? Is that okay?
Probably not. It's not fair.
That's wrong too?
I mean, I think the part
of you start going into the body again.
When you start saying,
why are you going into a body?
Cars, tools, women, it makes women feel like an object.
Yeah.
But those women are purposely signing up for it, so you can't feel sorry for them. But at the same time, it's...
Yeah, and the phone's ringing. I'm glad. Somebody get in here.
Wait a minute. Hurry up.
I got to tell you right now. Is it a rites of passage for men that they can go to stripper clubs and that's okay?
Well, why can't they go to stripper
well,
clubs?
Well, I'm telling you.
I don't go there, but why
I'm
can't a man do that?
I'm telling you right now, and I'm just saying, now, I don't know how many women feel like this. If I were if I were single and I was going to be dating, if I found out the guy that I was interested in regularly went to strip clubs, I would not date him because I think it would say a lot about his character. And I just don't. And if my husband and I had a son and said, "Hey, let's go hang out at the stripper clubs," I would absolutely feel like somewhere in my life I did something wrong in how I raised my child. And that's all I have to say. So you can close the segment out.
We'll be right back with the doctors from the emergency room from Code Black. What a great movie and documentary. This is a long, we're going to have another, we're going to revisit this. I need to get guys into this and other ladies because obviously I'm getting beat up. We'll be right back after these messages.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Fighting back against Ebola, airline passengers may find it intrusive, but public health experts say that extra screening for exposure to Ebola at international airports is a good idea. Dr. Toby Merlin is Director of Preparedness and Emergency Infections for the CDC.
The important thing is to focus on Africa and the outbreak in Africa, because we will not be safe in the U.S. until the outbreak in West Africa is brought under control.
Another 100 U.S. Marines, meanwhile, are already setting shop up in Liberia to help with efforts to fight the spread of Ebola inside of Africa. The Medicare Part B premium that most seniors pay for outpatient care will remain unchanged next year.
$104.90 a month for individuals earning less than $85,000 a year or married couples earning less than $170,000. It's the third consecutive year that the monthly premiums held steady. The hospital deductible will rise by $44 next year to a total of $1,260, but many people carry additional insurance to cover that.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. Malala Yousafzai of Pakistan, a 17-year-old Muslim, while Kailash Satyara of India, a 60-year-old Hindu, but the two share something in common today. That is, they both share a piece of the Nobel Peace Prize for their work trying to advance children's rights and education.
I truly believe the only way we can create global peace and to our peace and prosperity is only reading, knowledge, and education.
That's young Malala Yousafzai commenting today on Britain's Sky News. Her comments coming from England. This is SRN News.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicky said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them, they contacted all of our creditors, they stopped the collections calls, they got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
At Mathnasium Learning Centers, we make math make sense. Your child will leap ahead, whether they start out way behind or already ahead. It's how we've grown to more than 500 franchise locations. More at mathnasium.com or call for a free parent pack, 844-799-5999. Learn what Mathnasium can do for your child, 844-799-5999. Mathnasium. We make math make sense.
Another big announcement from Tesla Motors on the leading edge of innovation.
Let's release the Titan.
And the announcement coming yesterday from Tesla Motors as it unveiled an all-wheel drive version of its Model S sedan, along with some new safety features. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says it was kind of hard keeping the secret all week long since last week.
As you probably learned by the internet, it's impossible to keep anything private these days. The D stands for dual motor.
The announcement put to rest a week of feverish speculation about the company's latest move. Ohio's governor, meanwhile, says that Chrysler insists that continuing to build the Jeep Wrangler in the state will be a challenge. A spokesman for Ohio Governor John Kasich says Chrysler told a group led by Toledo's mayor that new federal standards are putting enormous pressure on automakers. This is SRN News. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke testified in federal court yesterday in the AIG lawsuit.
Ben Bernanke testified that the insurance giant AIG had to be rescued by the federal government in 2008 to avert global financial catastrophe. Bernanke testified in a lawsuit brought by former AIG Chairman and CEO Maurice Greenberg. Greenberg is suing the federal government over its handling of AIG's bailout loan. Bernanke was one of the key decision makers on the bailout. The bailout began with an $85 billion rescue loan from the New York Federal Reserve in September of 2008. It grew to nearly $185 billion in federal aid. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Washington.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average tried to regain some traction after a huge sell-off of 335 points. Yesterday, at this hour, the Dow's up about 21 points. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl on the bot. It is 8:05 in the morning, October the 10th, Friday. Our phone lines here are 605-64567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Get your phones ready. We got two doctors in here with us, and right now they're patching me up from the last hour. Good morning, Savannah. Oh, Savannah's over there, so she's waving at me. And good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning. Currently 65 degrees in the downtown studios here of KCNR. It's going to be a sunny day with temperatures around 88. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 59. Looks like tomorrow, same, 88 in the highs, mostly clear around 60. And Sunday's around 87 with our Sunday evenings around 58 degrees. The weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's really cool to be a Shasta Gas customer, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. A couple of announcements here.
Tonight, of course, we have the
Make-A-Wish fashion show at Wind River.
Tomorrow morning, Making Strides.
Making Strides with American Cancer Society will be a walk, beginning at, sign-ups are at 7:30, ceremonies begin at 8, and then at 8:30 the walk begins.
Then at the Sundial Bridge. Of course, then there's the Think Pink in the Reading Rodeo Association, Cowboy Up for Breast Cancer Awareness down at the rodeo grounds. And then tomorrow night at the Cascade Theater, Code Black, a documentary made by medical students concerning the L.A. emergency room, Los Angeles Hospital emergency room, and the impact of the changes in our medical care have made on this. And we're very fortunate to have in our studios today
two doctors, Dr. James Taggart, who is our ER doctor from Shasta Regional. Good morning.
Morning.
And then we have Dr. James Taggart.
No, Nathan Parker.
Excuse me, Nathan Parker. Hello.
Hello.
I just said, Nathan, you are in the film, and we're responsible for being one of the,
cinematographers.
People putting it together.
Yep. From the very beginning, we started putting it together.
Okay, so Nathan, where are you from?
I'm from Mount Shasta originally.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's nice to be back home.
And you're back up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
ER doctor in Mount Shasta.
Yep, small town medicine.
And so what do you get? A lot of broken bones?
Hikers?
Bear bites?
Not yet.
You haven't had a bear bite? You know, we have two emergency room doctors here, and I equate emergency rooms as I do with trauma units out in combat, that when things happen, and you know, it's not the niceties that you'll have in regular medicine. I mean, they used to call it meatball medicine because, I mean, you're in there. And so seeing people there, that because you all have to have it all together. And Dr. James Taggart from Shasta Regional, what got you into this? To be a doctor, I mean, you can't just say one day, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to be a doctor, and I showed up at medical school.
I think it came down when I was very young. My mother was a volunteer on the rescue squad, and I had a science teacher in sixth grade teaching us how to do CPR. So I grew up in Vermont, and by eighth grade, I was running runs on the ambulance with my mother. So I think I've always had an interest in medicine. So that's where the emergency medicine part of it all started.
Now, so you worked the emergency room. I mean, after you've gone through medical school,
Yeah, I think a lot of us that are in emergency medicine, some of us are adrenaline junkies.
Mm, I would think.
I like the excitement.
No, I mean, I agree 100% with you on there. I can
blood gushing.
That.
I got to stop it. What
I
do we do
Dr.
now?
Dr. Parker would agree that you never know what's going to come through the door, and every single day is different. So you really never have time to get bored.
And you understand then what my brother-in-law said, that nobody ever died. There was no emergencies. And so he left the service. That was before all the war started. And went into, it's in ophthalmology now. I'm not sure what kind of emergencies there are there. But it's kind of like an adrenaline thing, and you've got to be on your toes, ready
torn
to
retina.
Handle anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dr. Parker here. When we
Who's in the film tomorrow night?
Are you in the film?
No, I'm not in the film per se, but I was helped filming a lot of it.
Oh, okay. But you're a special guest.
Thank you.
Anyway, you're going to be on the panel tomorrow
night.
Yes,
I will. Yes, I'll be there.
All right. So tell us about the film. Tell us about Code Black. What are people going to see?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess basically the one-liner is that it follows the physicians in training in the busiest ER in the country at L.A. County. But the film really is so much more than that. It talks a lot about just kind of indirectly the changes in our healthcare system that's going on in the last, 10 years. You see that kind of firsthand. And it gives you really unrestricted access to, I think, a very, very special place, the emergency room in the ER. No time has it ever been filmed before in the history of, emergency medicine. No one has really gotten this kind of access before. And you're seeing the stories and the struggles that doctors have and the nurses and the patients. And it's a very personalized look at, just kind of people trying to do good and be there just for a very simple reason, trying to help people and the struggles they go through going through bureaucracy and paperwork and things like that.
Well, let's talk about that.
Sure.
And part of this is the change in medical care and the bureaucracy. Every doctor we talk to, and as we know, we have doctors in our families. And we know many doctors that this change where you're having to do all this paperwork and the typing and all the different codes and all this is taking away time from your patient.
Yeah, certainly. And that's a struggle. I think every doctor you talk to is going to be harping on that. That's something that we have to deal with all the time. And I think a lot of this comes from a very well-intentioned place. A lot of these are safety measures that are in place for a reason. They're checklists we go through to make sure we don't miss anything. But they end up adding up. And, I think when I entered medical school, I didn't think that I'd be sitting in front of a computer for more time than I am actually face-to-face with a patient.
Wow. Okay.
And this is from the emergency room, too, right?
Yeah.
So, if you had a regular practice, from what I understand, James, is that for every one of your patients, like in Linda's brother's case, he's working 7 days a week trying to get the paperwork done because you almost have to be a physician.
It has like 40 people and a staff.
You almost have to be a physician to be able to put in the paperwork. But has this – I know both of you are young. First of all, both of you are, for us, are young. And how long have you been in the medical profession?
I graduated from residency in 2001.
Okay, so 13 years.
13 years.
Have you seen a big change then in this last
year? A huge change. Well, we didn't have the electronic medical record system.
Good or bad?
It's good in some senses, but it's bad in the sense that, like Dr. Parker said, we're spending more time on the computer than we are with our patients, making sure that whether we're getting things down for governmental metrics or that we are getting things down on the chart so that the physician and the hospital can get reimbursed. So we're having to make sure all these T's and I's are dotted for regulation issues or reimbursement issues. And in the end, it does, I think, improve the quality of care in the sense that you're having to meet certain metrics, but it takes a lot of time We're just sitting in front of the computer. So
Which is not what you signed up for, really, is it?
No. So we've had to find a lot of solutions to try and get around that. And one of the things that we've done at Shasta Regional is hire what we call a scribe to help us.
They do that. While you're out there, you can be in the field, transcriptionist, that's writing all this on a computer.
Yeah,
let somebody.
Why we're talking out loud and they're documenting everything. So
it's almost like in a trial when you've got the person there taking down everything you're saying. But you also have to check that too to make sure they've got it right.
True. What comes to my mind, and I have these like weird visuals, is it's kind of like a gunslinger that goes in, and you know you're in the moment, and you've got somebody bleeding or broken or near death in front of you, and you got to pull out all your knowledge and your tricks, and right there you got to make it happen. You're making a call when you have to stop, and you have to go through all of a sudden change that mentality of I'm here to make it, you know, you're thinking on your feet, you're taking all these, your adrenaline's going and you're doing all these things that make you a great doctor. And all of a sudden you're stopping because you've got to fill in a blank or write down the right code and all these other things. It kind of stops the flow. It takes you, it's like stopping your arm in mid range to be able to be the best that you can be. And I think that somehow we've got to figure out what to do, within our medical society to not have that be such a, what do you want to call it? There's a word I'm looking for. Help me here.
Never ending bureaucratic morass that they're dumping on the doctors.
So Code Black is going to be about what everybody's going through, right? We're going to see an inside.
Yeah, very inside look. And I got to warn you guys, I mean, it's been compared to Saving Private Ryan for as far as the intensity that you're seeing and the graphic nature of it. So be prepared for that.
But in this case, it's not a movie.
Right. This time it's real.
It's real. All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Nathan Parker, cinematographer, and for this documentary, Code Black, about an emergency room in L.A., and Dr. James Taggart from Shasta Regional Medical Center, an emergency room physician there. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello. My name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Reading Electric Utility celebrates National Public Power Week, October 5th through the 11th. Hello, this is Jeff Granberry with REU. Please join me and all REU employees as we celebrate National Public Power Week. REU has been locally owned by the citizens of Reading and operated by the City of Reading for 93 years. REU is proud of our history and even more excited about our future. We're a major employer. We are your family. We are your friends. We are your neighbors. We are you. On behalf of the more than 160 men and women at REU, thank you for your business and for supporting your community-owned utility, REU.
Do you feel like the digital world has left you behind and just a bit bewildered? Locals is here to get you and your business up to date. In an age where 87% of consumers expect businesses to have a website, Locals can help. Website design and implementation, logo creation, VHS to DVD transfers, and much more. You don't need to learn all the digital tricks of the trade. You just need to contact Locals at 515-8335 or online at localsreading.com. For everything digital for yourself or your local business, it's Locals Online Service Company.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460. We're live with Kristen. Welcome back to the show. Carl.
This portion of the show. Thank you. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. You know, it's been like this since the last segment I talked about Man's World. I've just been, you know, Savannah's turned off the microphone, the whole thing. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. It's Martin and his merry crew of men and women. Have been in business for over 20 years here in the North State. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for emergencies. Any make or model of heating units or air conditioners, they can fix. Warranties and guarantees are offered. They crawl underneath your house, make sure those ducts are working. You know, it's getting ready to get cold again, so make sure that heating system works. Have them check it. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air.
Kind of like the doctors of heating and air, right? Crawl in there and see the goods.
Our guests today are Dr. Nathan Parker and Dr. James Taggart. Dr. Parker was the cinematographer for this documentary that's playing tomorrow night at the Cascade Theater, brought to us by, I guess, Shasta Regional. And Dr. James Taggart is an emergency room physician at Shasta Regional. Now, Nathan, can I call you Nathan?
Sure.
And I can call you doctor, but I mean, I can do both.
You can call me whatever you want.
Dr. Nathan. Okay. Nathan. What brought this on? What you were all medical students mm-hmm. when you did this, right?
That's right.
So what brought this on to what was this idea to film this?
Well, there's just a core group of us, and I think we all – our first impression when we walked into the emergency room at L.A. County when we were second-year medical students was, wow, I mean, this place is special, and it's – I mean, it just looks like total chaos. I mean, this is the busiest ER in the country. They see over 200,000 patients a year. And it's where, like you were mentioning before, the corpsmen come and train.
We used to send corpsmen and doctors there before all these wars started, too, and you're saying you're still getting the corpsmen.
Exactly. It's just like a real warlike
been,
situation.
Yeah, you haven't been in combat, so you have got – literally, this is the closest to combat you're going to see is in your emergency room.
Exactly. And on top of that, this is the safety net hospital for all the uninsured, all the undocumented workers coming across the border from Mexico or Central America. So you're seeing the sickest of the sickest patient there and all the gang violence from L.A. County. So you're there and you're seeing all the craziness that's happening there and you're like, wow, do people know what's going on here? I mean, what is this place? No one has ever seen something like this before. And so we sought out to, essentially at the very beginning, just to document this and to kind of show people, open up people's eyes and see what this is really true emergency medicine here. And if people could only see this, the debate would shift in healthcare from not, you know, what type of insurance do you have? How can we pay for this? But really, how can we deliver care to those who need it most in the most effective way possible? So we set out to just really do a kind of a archival piece just for the hospital. So, you know, this is just a magical place. Let's just document it and have it on file so everyone can remember this place because the hospital was actually shifting buildings right when we were there. It was going from this old historical building that was just condemned because it was earthquake unsafe to right across the street to this brand new state-of-the-art building. And, you know, the hospital wasn't shutting down per se. It was just moving buildings. But in this transition, we were able to see the change from just this very pure county-driven medicine to now this supposedly technologically advanced hospital.
The perfect place, brand new.
Exactly.
Great minds, great equipment. And there was a great change, right?
Big change. All of a sudden, we had electronic health records. We were sitting in front of the computer. All the patients were spread out instead of being concentrated into one little spot where we could see them all. I mean,
and watch them.
And watch them. They all spread us into separate pods, which, you know, it was all done for the advent of patient privacy and things that had very well intentioned, but we saw the change that was unexpected and people.
Unintended consequences.
That's exactly right.
Of a great idea.
Exactly right. So we were able to, you know, kind of document that whole thing and see the transition. And this movie, Code Black, is you're going to see a very firsthand look at the doctor's struggles with this.
Code Black means?
Well, Code Black is the term that we use when there's an emergency overflow of patients in the emergency room. It's when your ER is totally full, you're unable to handle the volume. And what it does, it's supposed to be an emergency response where the nurses from upstairs come down, help out, all the techs come in, and you get this extra flow of help. However, if you're running a code block for a quarter of the time that you're open, it kind of starts to lose its value. And that's kind of what LA County is doing.
People don't show up, huh? And then there's instances where people die in the emergency room because nobody's seen them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if it was L.A., but I've read that before where they brought people in and they were just overloaded.
I mean, overcrowding is a big problem. I mean, we're seeing over the last couple of years that our volume has just increased everywhere across the country.
Okay. Now, and I don't.
So this movie's for awareness. This is like to bring awareness of what's happening.
And, yes. And you'll be very aware once you see this movie.
You know, one of the things, and this isn't a political thing today, but people need to go out and see this movie, if you can, this documentary, because it's no matter what the change in care is, you know, some people say it's just we've just changed ways of paying people in this. And so if it has not done anything to help us take care of patients, because you're right. I mean, you guys, you two doctors see them where literally the rubber meets the road here. They come rolling through there. Dr. Taggart from Shasta Regional. Do y'all code black very much?
We have set up a surge plan for the winter. That's usually when we're the most busy, where we do have nurses come down to assist us. And we also pull in additional resources from the leadership from different departments.
Did you say winter?
Winter.
Why?
Well, our volumes tend to increase during the winter. Whether it's from influenza or pneumonia or other illnesses.
Okay. Going back to LAX, or not LAX, but LA.
LA County.
LA County. When you're surging like this, so you put people into different pods, but now you can't really watch them to see how they are. So what did you discover then is that all these great technological ideas, all these ideas for privacy, all these ideas that, oh, gosh, I just look at a computer screen, it tells me everything. Helped or hindered?
Well, I think the movie doesn't necessarily make a comment as far as whether this is good or bad. It's just more saying, like, look, this is what's happening in care right now, and how are we going to deal with it? And I think once you see the movie, be it whether you're Republican, liberal, or wherever you come politically, I think you're going to come away with a sense of, look, this talk about who's going to pay for what and all this, it shifts. You start becoming, let's just be compassionate for one another. What's the most American thing we can do? It's just take care of one another and just shift it from all the financial stuff to really that's, the message that comes back to you is like, wow, let's just find a way to take care of each other in a better way.
Well, as a doctor, you're not thinking what's your political view. You're
exactly.
Thinking about
all that goes out the window.
We all bleed red.
So what's the best way? You both of you are young physicians, and you hear all these. I hear horror stories that a lot of people are not opting to be a doctor. That there's residencies out there that are unfilled because they don't want to get into the heart surgery. So there's like 12 residencies supposedly that are unfilled, and you see these. And both of you all are in this. You started 13 years ago, and I'm not sure for you, Nathan, how long you've been in.
Oh, I just graduated residency this year.
Oh, okay. So you've been into it for a year, and what should we do?
Yeah,
what do you see? What would you do? I mean, James, I mean, what would you do?
Well,
practice openly.
Well, you had mentioned something earlier about how really the only things that's changed is how people are paid.
Yeah, the money has shifted. Has other things shifted?
Well, things have shifted, but I don't think people realize how much under pressure physicians and hospitals are under to make the bottom line. So, in my opinion, it's more about how can we not pay the hospital? How can we not pay the physicians? Because every year we have new hoops the hospital has to jump through or the physicians have to jump through in order to get reimbursed. So that the rules of the game are always changing, and hospitals and physicians and physician groups have to be literally ready to change the way they practice, any given day.
And I've heard this is that if you don't fill this out a specific way, we're not going to pay you, and it takes 6 months. And with relatives being in the medical field, is that they're constantly being cut back. There's that thing at the end of the year where they're going to cut Medicare by 20% or every year, and they have to re-vote to keep that money going. It's not So what you're saying is they've got to find a way to pay the bottom line as opposed to not wanting to pay the bottom line. That's an interesting point there. But you kind of succinctly put what we've been hearing for the last few years.
Code Black.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what Nathan was saying about the volumes of patients in the number of patients that we're seeing. You know, this isn't a new problem. This has been a problem since I was practicing in my residency in the late 90s, and just overwhelmed with volume. And now you have a change in the payment and the change in with the Affordable Care Act. A lot of patients have gone to Medicaid or Medi-Cal, and with that, you don't have a lot of primary care physicians that are seeing Medicare now or Medicaid or Medi-Cal. And so where do they go for their primary health care? They come to the emergency department. Room. So our volumes were already high. We were already overwhelmed. And now, because they have no access to primary care,
they're coming to the ER. Primary care does not have
and
to
so
take it.
What amazes me when you listen to the news and the radio and the people talking, well, we have more uninsured patients now. I was just listening to the radio last night. Well, the number of people that are insured now has gone up. And there were a few explanations for that. But just because you have insurance doesn't mean that you actually have access to a physician.
That was one of the concerns that they had. It's like an emergency room. You add 10,000 more people coming to the emergency room, guess what? You're not going to be seen. You add 10,000 or a million people more to a system that's already full, you're not going to be seen.
And I think that's more it's so evident in the movie in Code Black. You see the average waiting time. And we're talking the average waiting time at the ER there is 24 hours.
Oh, my.
We're
going to
break on
gosh.
That. Okay. The average waiting time in the LA hospital's waiting room, average waiting time is 24 hours.
Or death.
Or death. Whatever came first. Well, that was pretty good. We'll be right back. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Our guest, Dr. James Taggart, who is the emergency room physician at Shasta Regional, and Dr. Nathan Parker, who is now up at Mount Shasta. And are you in the emergency room up there? Oh, of course. Who is the cinematographer and one of the four young medical students who put together this film, Code Black. We're going to talk about where you can see it and then also other places you can see it, too. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids
from all the way back in 1959 when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks from Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
where the meatballs are as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. We are live here, 8:34 in the morning, currently 65 degrees. We're having a fantastic morning. There's so many events going on. One specifically that we're talking about that is really a very cutting edge, I would say, that's happening tomorrow night at the Cascade Theater. And with us, we have a couple docs in the house, one of which was part of the filming and doing a cinematography. And we're talking about the film Code Black. Just got a call from Pamela Okuda, who talked about the fact that A News Cafe, you know, Donnie Greenberg, she does a killer job. A News Cafe, if you go there, .com, they have a full, wonderful article on the film that's going to be shown Saturday night. I'm sure tickets are still available. I'm sure it's selling out quickly. You can call the Cascade Theater. It's tomorrow night. The film is about, let's go right to
our guest star, Dr. Nathan Parker, who is working in the emergency room up at Mount Shasta, but was part of the four-person team to film this, Code Black, and Dr. James Taggart, who is an emergency room physician right here at Shasta Region. We were talking to Dr. Taggart a little bit about how you got here, and so, like all of us, you somehow end up in Reading, and you like it so much, and you're going to stay. And Nathan, who comes from Mount Shasta and ended up back there, just really starting off his career.
Yeah. As a filmmaker now.
The last thing you said was, an average is a 24-hour wait at the L.A. Hospital Emergency Room.
Yep.
And where's this at?
It's at L.A. County Hospital.
L.A. County Hospital Emergency Room is a 24-hour wait. Mm-hmm. So you people that are out there for 4 hours, it could be, which is bad.
It could be a lot worse.
Now, 24 hours, how do you, I mean, you're triaging people, obviously, exactly right. All
so
the time.
Obviously, the sickest patients are coming back much sooner than that. But if you're coming in for, a broken finger and you have nowhere else to go because, like we talked about earlier on the show, there's no primary care doctor who's going to see you, you have to be treated, but you're going to sit there and wait. I mean, we've seen people bringing their sleeping bags. Their waiting room is just, it's like this own scene of its own. People are there forever.
And people use this for things like, I've got a cough, I don't have a doctor, so I'm bringing the family in. You've just become my primary care physician.
Doctor. Yeah. We'll have entire families come in. We'll have families of 3, 4, 5 people check in all at the same time.
To be checked over?
To have their
coughs
and things, symptoms checked out.
And at L.A. County, which is, I mean, I've heard of L.A. County a lot of times. People, they just send people over to L.A. County from other hospitals, too. Yep. Do they dump on you?
From other countries,
From other countries?
Yeah, people get referred in from Mexico just because they've got nowhere else to go and they want to get the best care they can.
So they come up to L.A. County. Well,
so you come back to Mount Shasta. When did this whole concept begin in your mind? Did you assemble the team?
No, I was part of the ones being assembled, honestly.
Okay.
I was interested in emergency medicine, and Dr. Ryan McGarry, who is the director, was 2 years above me in medical school at the time, and he had a little bit of film experience, and he really was the brainchild behind this whole thing. And he was a friend of mine, and we kind of got together and got two other medical students and just started filming. In the end, we got a little bit of money from the department saying, here, we can rent a good camera, and got some good audio equipment and started getting it done. And then, we started noticing this evolving story that was like, hey, this is a bigger story that we can actually show the larger public. And we had a man named Mark Jonathan Harris, who was a 2-time Oscar-winning producer, who we showed a short trailer to because he worked at USC itself. And you're like, hey, just take a look at this and see what you think. Where can this go? And he's like, this is a gold mine. You guys can have really something here. And you guys can really open the eyes of the public if you show this thing.
Now, do you all own this movie? I mean, not to be crass.
No, it's owned by the LA County.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Here's questions that are coming in. And by the way, Shasta has a 30-minute guarantee because people are talking about I can't see. Somebody has written in, is Shasta Regional is the best ER in town. They get you in and out quickly. Best care, best docs. I don't know who these people are.
This is our chat room.
This is our chat room that comes through here. Now, and this, I know you've probably heard this, but Ebola. Are we ready for it?
We're ready.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
We've met with our infectious disease leader, Dr. Miles. We've had meetings already, and our nursing leadership and Dr. Miles, we've all set up the plan, and we're going to have education for all the nurses and physicians on how to get into the protective wear. It's not exactly the same as the CDC's wearing, yeah. But, you know, but we'll be protected, and we have we've got a very detailed plan on how to manage patients that come in with symptoms.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask because that's on, you know, the tips
everybody's mind. And a cool thing is that you answered that very confidently. Like, boom, yeah, we're ready. That makes me feel assured here in Reading.
And that leads to something else. You're already overrun in L.A., in L.A. County. And, I mean, already overrun. Major trauma incident. Train wreck, epidemic. What happens?
Well, you know, the good news about L.A. County is it's prepared for anything. It really – that's what it deals with a day in and day out. It's always inundated with very, very sick patients. You know, when I was there, there was a big train wreck that happened right near the hospital and right in some tunnel. I think it was one of the passenger trains.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And it handled the whole thing very, very, very well.
So, okay, so you're ready for this. Now, it's of course, how many people – do they see in a day, would you say? You may have said this already.
Per day, I'm not sure, but it's over 200,000
a
year.
Okay. So, and they're coming in from other countries. They're and if they can't have a primary care physician, they're being seen. As we said, talked to other people from the urgent care clinics. The number of people they're seeing is skyrocketing. Will they ever, in your experience being down there in these, in yours, of course, too, James, are we ever going to catch up with this? What's the best way of cutting the numbers back? Is it finding people, primary physicians?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest solution, honestly, if we can train more primary care doctors out there who will see these patients. And I think a lot of it's going to have to come down. They're going to need to be paid more. Right now, there's just no incentive for someone to go into primary care medicine. You know, I left medical school with $360,000 in debt. And it's just – there's no incentive at all to pay that back if you go into primary care medicine. It's just impossible.
Now, what you said is extremely important in a lot of ways because we've heard this from doctors who have been in the field a long time who are retiring at this point.
10 years to actually try to get out of debt after getting out of med school.
Is saying that there's no reason for people to become a general practice, primary care. It's because with the amount of money they're getting paid. Now, and yet, how long did your brother go through school? 30 years ago? 20 years ago?
He went through 11 years because he became
an but how many years ago? About 30?
70s.
Anyway, in the 70s. He left school
80?
Without any debt. And I know a lot of other doctors went out and came out with a lot less debt. And now it seems like all of our doctors and many of our other college university types that have gone in are coming out with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt.
Yep.
The price has gone up that much, or is it just a change and things just changed that much? I mean, I can understand what you just said. I was saying, okay, I'm going to be a physician. I'm not going to get paid. I know I'm going to be fighting the government for every cent that I make, and yet they expect me to save people's lives, and they're sitting on my butt the whole time. So there's got to be another solution for that.
Maybe some loan forgiveness programs, things like that. I mean, there's got to be some sort of way.
Well, I know that, I think that I've seen something like that. If you go, you know, that doctors that go to work in certain areas, I think even the cities will pay back. If you go into, like, the rural areas, mm-hmm. that sometimes the rural areas will pay off your medical bills.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to have worked out so well.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the event tomorrow night.
Sure.
Code Black, again, at the Cascade Theater, beginning at what time?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Afterwards, after the film runs approximately...
It's about an hour and a half.
Okay. Afterwards, there is a panel of experts. So we can have question Q&A from the audience.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
All right. That's excellent. And I know that as I spoke with Pamela yesterday, she was talking about assembling some really ER docs mm-hmm. across all different areas that are going to be, you know, answering questions and everything. We're going to take a break when we come back.
Yeah, and this portion of the show has been brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Man's last stronghold. I think I can say that safely at this point.
You can't
say that. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Great haircuts, great prices. Cheers, barbershops. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back after these messages. We have Dr. James Taggart, emergency room physician at Shasta Regional, and Dr. Nathan Parker, who is a cinematographer and one of the people that put together this documentary, Code Black. Code Black meaning we're overrun and we need help. We call it something else in the Marine Corps, but not exactly those words. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhood safe and strong. Vote for me, Brent Weaver. Together, we will take back our city, streets, parks, and neighborhoods.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
My name is Mimi Mosley. Growing up, I learned I was responsible for the choices I made. Since moving to Reading, I've seen how my choices can truly make a difference as a small business owner and resident. I'm choosing to vote across party lines to make this important change to our city council. This change will be historic as it betters Reading. I believe Francie Sullivan loves Reading dearly and feels a calling to make the tough changes needed. Francie is always on duty as she encourages small business owners, listens to the concerns of her city, and pushes for a safe Reading. Francie's heart is to launch new jobs as well as bring safety back to our homes. Francie has faithfully managed Reading's resources and commits to continue this hard work. November 4th, the choice is yours, and you are responsible for that choice. I'm choosing to vote for 2 new city council members to help Francie achieve these goals as we live and work in this great city. My name is Mimi Mosley, and I choose Francie.
I'm Francie Sullivan. I want to make Reading the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Paid for by the committee to elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I've spent the last year walking through neighborhoods and learning about the issues Reading residents care most about. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhoods safe and strong.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
Back down.
No, but where do we want to go with
back down?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBott. It's Friday, the last segment of our last hour of our show, brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located on Larkspur, of course. John Bastiani and his men and women that work there pride themselves on their customer service and always having the ammo and guns in stock that people are looking for and at fair prices. And their gunsmithing is absolutely fabulous there. Located at 2539 Larkspur. Or give them a call at 222-8222, Bastiani Arms. Hunting season's here. Our guest, Dr. James Taggart, emergency room physician from Shasta Regional, and Dr. Nathan Parker, who is an emergency room physician up in Mount Shasta, but is also one of the four people that, one of the four, I guess in this case, y'all were medical students, mm-hmm. that put together this great documentary called Code Black. And frankly, we need to find out where else it's going to be playing. It's going to be playing at the Cascade Theater tomorrow night. They're going to talk about what's happened to our, you know, some of the unintended consequences of trying to help people who don't have insurance, which has led to other things. That has slowed down the treatment of patients. Would you both agree on that? This isn't a political thing. This is just this is what you've seen. And in Code Black, what this is they've shown the what happens in the emergency room at L.A. County that sees over 200,000 people a year, where the average waiting time is 24 hours because everybody comes there because they can't be seen by other physician. I'm sorry. What's the word I'm looking for?
Primary care
physician. Because they can't find one. So now they're coming in the emergency room. And what we have at Shasta Regional is kind of a smaller version.
Sure.
Of LA County.
We're faced with the same challenges. It's just on a little smaller scale.
Well, you don't have 24 hours, too. I mean, you guys are really good about your
time. On average, our wait time is less than 30 minutes.
Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. So that's something to feel secure about up here.
How could you do that at L.A. County?
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, the volume is just so great. You'd have to have a ER that's the size of, 10 hospitals there to take that.
Biggest surprise working at seeing it at L.A. County?
I think it's just the positive attitude of all the staff that's there. I mean, everyone there is coming there with just a great attitude, and they're all there to help. I mean, everyone there is underfunded, probably underpaid, and everyone there is just for the same mission of we're going to make a difference to people who really need it the most.
So they're doing a lot of this out of
it's the goodness of their heart.
Goodness of their hearts. Yeah. You know, maybe that term's used too much, but you see that a lot, and I'm sure you see it at the same thing at Shasta Regional, even though you're not seeing 200,000 people a year.
Sure.
People are still into this because they want to help.
So, again, if you want to find out more about the film and go into details, you can go to A News Cafe and read an article that is more in-depth about Code Black. Mm-hmm. And, we're just so happy that you're here, that you guys have come on the show this morning, and that you guys are going to have this fantastic outpouring tomorrow night at the Cascade with the a special event where you're going to be having a panel afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our audience members find this very interesting. It's something that touches all of us because we never know when we're going to need to go to an emergency room and what's happening with our current health care and the ever-changing world of health care and how it's affecting us daily, not knowing day to day what's happening with policies.
Yeah. And I'd also like to add that you can get more information about the film at their Facebook page. At Code Black is the title of the page. And they've got a lot of good information also about where it's going to be showing next across the country.
You know, what we need to do is there's a lot of information came out of this show today. And a physician who just started this past year, got out of his residency and was in down at L.A., and then from one who's been in the business for 13 years but has still got plenty of years in front of him, we hope, and doesn't take up, kayaking or something like that as a profession.
maybe a fishing guide.
Maybe a fishing guide. I can understand.
Yeah,
now.
I can.
Oh, okay. Now, there's a big reason that Dr. Taggart is up here, James Taggart is up here. Oh, fishing. There's a lot of information you all just gave out today about what's happening in our medical system, and it's not a political thing. This is just the way it is. You're leaving medical school with close to $500,000 of half $1 million worth of debt. Why would you go into certain parts of certain practices in the medical field? Because you're never going to get that money back because the government is beating you down. The federal government is beating you down on how much money they pay you and reimbursing you. So you end up in a lot of you end up that you're doing this. But at a certain point, you have to pay your bills, too. Does this ever Does it ever worry you about that?
You just put one foot in front of the other.
Can you buy a house owing $385,000?
I haven't tried yet.
Okay, well, I mean, this is something I've heard, is that this is one of the problems, is that they come out of, people come out of schools hundreds of thousands in debt, and they can't, okay, you know, I've got a great job, it pays me this, you know, all this, but, oh, yeah, but you're leaning on this much debt back there.
It's an interesting concept. I'm more concerned for hospitals and physicians and physician groups now more than I've ever been.
Really?
Yes, I think I'll give you an example. We have in Shasta County alone over 60,000 new people signed up for Medi-Cal. So
in Shasta County, 60,000. There's only 190,000 in the county, I thought.
I believe the number is
something like
60,000
have changed
new,
over, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now they have a form of health insurance that most physicians don't take. So they will be coming to the ERs for their care.
Oh my gosh! So this is what we've gotten into. What do you got?
Okay.
Here, huh?
Well, I just want to make sure again. Two things. ANewsCafe.com, there's an article about the showing. And as you know, there are no other local showings scheduled except for tomorrow night, which is a special screening. You can go to CodeBlackMovie.com. That's the website. Code Black, a look into America's busiest ER.
What you're saying, James, is a fear we need to all face here, is because we're going to get overrun. This was said years ago when this thing first started. We're not going to have enough room in the hospital, in the ERs. And everybody said, oh, no, it's going to clear out the ERs because now everybody's going to have – there's people that didn't have insurance. Now they're just going to go to a physician. Well, at the next point then, and let's just – the next point is, well, you're not going to take Medicare or Medi-Cal. Well, fine. Then you're not going to get your license here. Is that coming? Do you think? You know what I mean? Is that you've got – because you have to have a license –
You can choose to accept Medicaid or Medicare,
right?
And so if you choose to do provide care to those patients, then that's what you have to provide.
But if you choose not to,
you either do that or you do a cash business.
Okay.
Or a concierge medicine
becoming more popular,
or a different type of insurance. Completely, right?
Correct. You could do.
I mean, you have your own private insurance.
Right,
okay.
You could do, yeah.
But if people don't take the Medi-Cal or the other thing, is
right. Well, if they don't do that, they can't practice at the hospital.
Oh, at the hospital.
Yeah, so
okay.
So if they do, if they accept, if they practice at the hospital and accept Medicare, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, then they have to accept those patients in their private practice.
Oh.
And so you'll see, for instance, I wouldn't be able to go open up a private practice on the side and say I'm not accepting insurance or I'm only accepting Blue Shield because I accept Medicare and Medicaid in the hospital, then I would have to accept those
okay.
patients everywhere.
Okay.
That's restrictive. A question. Dr. Parker, the fact that you've been a big part of creating this film, Code Black, what was the highlight for you?
Oh, just to see how far it's gone, really. I mean, our first debut was at the L.A. Film Festival, and we just entered it as like a kind of a crapshoot saying, you know, we'll see what happens here. And it ended up winning. That kind of catapulted us onto the national scene a little bit, and just seeing how big it's gotten and where it can go, you know, who knows. I don't want to say it, but, you know, maybe
Academy Award.
Maybe Academy Award nomination, we'll see.
We're going to see Nathan up there, you know.
Yeah, we've had a couple films nominated right here out of the North State. What,
for things?
Military-ish.
Yeah. Well, you know, Restrepo and Donegal have been in with people that have been in the movie. So,
right.
Is it bleak? We've got like 3 minutes left. Is there light at the end of the tunnel here?
I don't know light at the tunnel, but there's always hope. I mean, the people who work there day to day, I mean, they're such good people. The team that I work with in the ER, I mean, I'm just so grateful to be around such an awesome team, and everyone's such a positive attitude that, you know, you got people working like that in the ERs day in, day out. You're going to be in good hands.
So it's not the and I agree with that. I think that, you know, Shasta Regional or any place, the people are so important to it. But there's going to be a certain point that, you know, something needs to be done. I mean, we're just going to get overrun. I mean, Code Black, as you said, you've Code Black so many times that the reaction to that is, well, okay, I'll get there when I can because I'm busy up here. Do you all see as younger physicians a light down here or anything like that?
We're looking, I mean, we're comparing apples and oranges if you're looking at our hospitals here in the North State to L.A. But
right.
But I think we all have our own challenges. And like Nathan said, you know, people that are in this profession enjoy what they're doing. If we didn't enjoy what we were doing, we wouldn't last.
Well, I can't tell you how much we've appreciated you all coming today.
You've made our Friday.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's been a great way to close the week.
Yeah, we like to end on a real positive note because the whole week is just, you know, I mean, Ebola up the butt, you know, and everything else. So we try to get into a more positive outlook for the weekend, talking about things that are going on. And this is very positive. This movie, Code Black, you got a chance to see it tomorrow at the Cascade Theater. You might want to go there if you haven't got anything else planned. Or if you have some
things,
you can
shift. Get your tickets now. It's going to get sold out.
Dr. Nathan Parker, who is cinematographer, is one of the four young medical students that put this together, this film, which has already won the L.A. Film Festival and is moving on from that, will be there also to answer questions and be part of the Q&A. And, of course, we have Dr. James Taggart, who is in our own Shasta Regional Emergency Room, working it too. The one thing that I really get, and I get a great deal of confidence, is listening and watching you two. Because
mm-hmm.
you're there because you're obviously very
your
confident
passion.
And you care about it.
Well, thanks for having us. It's a pleasure being on the show.
Well, I tell you what, like we said, we
good gunslingers.
They are. You know what? You want the best shooters when you're out there. Hey, remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Rick Bassetti, Mayor Bassetti's going to be on the show Monday. We're going to be talking Measure F. You want to raise our taxes? Find out why Mayor Bassetti wants it to happen. Have a great weekend.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
It's been another volatile day on Wall Street with the major indexes changing direction several times on this day after the market's worst showing of the year. Still a lot of uncertainty over global economic growth. The Dow posted its biggest one-day gain and biggest one-day loss of the year back-to-back this week. Republican Senator James Inhofe has lifted his objections to a $750 million Pentagon request for fighting Ebola in Africa. That immediately frees up the money. Dr. Toby Merlin with the Centers for Disease Control says Ebola is especially virulent.
It is really a disease that where the virus infects almost the entire human body. The virus is reproducing in a person's gastrointestinal tract and in their lungs and in their heart and in their skin and in their liver.
Stepped up Ebola screening at five major U.S. airports.